First time you've been up here since the new lights. You're getting a lot more than you really deserve. I'm sorry about that. This would be the first time that I have ever stood, at least in this situation, in front of my parents. I'm very glad they're here. Glad that my kids come back from school when I speak. It makes me feel good. So thank you to them for being here. But if you get a little jitter at first, that's what's happening. I don't usually have much, but if there is some, that's what you get. I have recently just changed the gentleman I work for. The guy that I was working for moved into a new position. The guy that took his position now that I report to directly is a very good friend. He is a fan of inspirational quotes. And he sends me inspirational quotes 2 to 3 times a day along with everybody else that's in the email box and in the textbook. He sends us 2 to 3 of these quotes every day. He sends them because he finds motivation through these words. Okay, someone has said something that struck a chord with him and he found it to be an inspirational thing. I have always been eternally motivated, I guess I would say. So when he sends these, I kind of look and I go, junk mail. Yeah. And slide it over. Once in a while, he sends something that's pretty good and really worth watching. We had a retreat in Chicago 2 months ago, and the big focus of this was some of his inspirational stuff that he's really high on. The first one is B212. And what that means is that a temperature to go from regular water to boiling is 1 degree. It speaks to your passion. So if you want to step into something, he wants you to be 212. As a Christian, we're not supposed to be lukewarm. That struck a pretty good chord with me. Like I said, once in a while he hits one. That makes sense. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be boiling. We want that to come out. They want people to see your passion for the church, see your passion for Christ, see your passion for life. Because that's what draws people to you, is that extra degree. His second one was cross the line. Now, in my life, that has never been a problem to this point. And I will say that very honestly, to cross that line. What he means when he says that is not cross the line to negativity, but to cross the line from goodness to greatness. To take that extra step to be a better you. To not just settle for what you know you can do because it's easy, but to cross the line to something that's hard for you. To cross the line to a place that you have to step into difficulty to become better. Someone hits the ball off a tee and hits the ball off a tee hard. If they never move to a pitcher, will never progress as a baseball player. Someone that can dunk on an 8-foot rim, if they don't move it up to a 10-foot rim, will never become a better jumper. They will not progress because your muscles will stop. Your body will stop doing better. Your mind will say, I got this one nailed, and it'll stop right there. I was given the opportunity through one of our training things to present to my company. And present to my entire company. Knowing that he likes inspirational phrases, I wanted to confuse him a little bit when I put in my title. And what I put in when I gave it to him, I said, okay, my talk is going to be entitled, Don't Be Poor. He got a really puzzled look on his face. Didn't ask any questions. Like I said, we've been friends a while. And let me go with it. The industry I'm in is money driven. I mean, that's just the big and the little of it. We are money driven. But we try to have balance beyond just that money drive. Because money, at the end of the day, is just money. It doesn't make your life better in a lot of ways. It doesn't make you happy when you're not. And it won't give you wholeness when you have it. With money, you can do great things for people. Please don't misunderstand me. the ability to control that money to do good things with it is tremendous. And if you're ever in that position, please do great things with it. I don't have these issues. And don't foresee it happening soon. The definition of being broke is a very simple one line. No money. You are lacking funds. If you look it up, that's what you get. Broke. If you go beyond that, when we're talking about something else, that's slang. If we go beyond that, it does talk about being beyond repair. Okay, when I was talking about don't be poor to the audience that I had in front of me, what I was speaking to was don't be poor in your life. Not to not be poor on a monetary standard. The amount of money you have, the amount of money you make, the amount of money you bring in, put out, good for you. Okay? You may have a certain standard of life you want to adhere to, and God bless you for trying to work and go get that. But what we talk about, and what I was talking about when I was being poor, about being poor, is the definition of poor goes on beyond just monetary value, and it says, lacking something specified, deficient of desirable qualities, lacking ability, faulty or inferior, wretched and unfortunate. The Bible definition of poor carries all of those. But when he says we are to be poor in spirit, he doesn't mean we are supposed to be the wretched and unfortunate. He means we're supposed to be humble, mild, and knowing that we are in need of spiritual help, that we are in need of God. Lacking something specified. There are people in this world that I know you will run across that have no joy, no hope, no faith, and no care. They are simply here to be unhappy, to make others unhappy, and to revel in the joy of watching people fall. Those people are there. They will always be there. Can you change them? Maybe. You know, we always hope that someone will come to the light and see that they have a chance to be better or feel better about themselves than they are. And that's what we welcome here. They thrive in the failure of others. I can tell you of the group that I was speaking to that day, I don't think that there was anybody in that crowd who really wanted to just see me flop. They might have wanted to see me stumble a little bit or lose my words, lose my place, because it makes me nervous, and that might have given them a little jolly. But it's still, at the end of that, didn't want to see me fail. They were there to back me up. So when we get up and talk in front of you all here now today, I've always had that same feeling. Now, if I fall coming off the podium, I'm sorry, and it will probably give you a little bit of luck once I stand back up. But still, I don't think anybody's really pushing me off the edge, and that's what I'm looking for. They exist to watch the good that others do become negative. That is what we call jealousy. Okay, if you exist to worry about others doing good things and why they're doing good things, should you not just be glad that they're doing those good things and not worry so much that they're doing it for a posture or a setting? Yes. Okay, if somebody's giving you help, you shouldn't have to worry that the help that's being offered is because they're worried about something later on. Or they're worried about maybe, okay, he's just giving help so people can see him give help, and that'll be it. Those kind of people exist. Revelation 3:17 says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're deficient of desirable qualities. They know that they are not as good as others. Why me? I'm not as good as them. I can't do that as well. How come? God obviously has no care for me. God obviously has no care for anything I do, because he wouldn't have made me this way. They will try to do things that they esteem to be higher as others do. They'll try to succeed. For me to stand and lead songs as well as someone else would. If I didn't do it as well the first time, didn't prepare anything for that, and I'm not going to lead songs yet. Please don't think that. Lol. To do that would be a mistake, because I didn't prepare for that. Okay, I didn't really give it a shot. I just got up and winged it, thinking that I should be able to do it as good as the next guy. Okay? All of you that lead songs, do a good job. I don't read sheet music. Okay, I know I can read this way, but I can't go up and down with the notes. I just know that they go up and down. That worries me when I lead songs, so I don't want to give you guys a clinker and have you sound bad, all right, when I sing. And if I sing out loud, there's going to be a clinker. They fail because they don't prepare. Then they quit. I know we don't do a lot of sayings from movies, but there's a saying from a movie that says, do or do not. Never try. Star Wars. There we go. All right? Yeah, the Yoda. Do or do not. Two statements. You either are hot or you are cold. You are not lukewarm. Is what that statement means. When we talk about being hot on life or cold on life, we want you to be hot. We want you to be in it. We want you to be participating for all you are worth, so at the end of the day, you're like a 3-year-old that is running around on a sugar rush and you just stop and flop over. I can remember Mark holding Nick at the end of a long day. Nicholas was talking and then eyes rolled back. That was it. He was done. He'd given his last breath for that day out loud. Out. Proverbs 28:6. Great blessings belong to those who know they are spiritually in need. God's kingdom belongs to them. If you're lacking in ability, and all of us are not the greatest at everything we do, where do you measure yourself? Do you measure yourself by yourself as though you are doing what you can do, or do you measure yourself against the greatest there is? Because if you measure yourself against the greatest there is, you're not always going to do it the first time. The people that are the best at what they do have put in the time and the effort to be there. I am a horrible golfer. Horrible. I don't know if I'm going to hit the ball or not when I swing. That's where we're at. Okay, that's where this begins. Horrible. Does that mean I would not go out and play with my son? No. We play best ball. He's not too bad. All right? I still stink. I don't measure myself against my son. I certainly don't measure myself against Tiger Woods. If you're a lousy golfer, you should try to be a not-so-lousy golfer. And then move from being a not-so-lousy golfer into being maybe a bogey golfer. And then move to a par golfer. To me, that makes sense. You can't be the best first time out. Some of that's ability and some of that's desire. And as we work, and for the purpose of what I was talking about at my job, and here, we want the desire. Okay, talent, great. You know, we want the desire. Somebody that's passionate and desiring to be better for them. Their best is what we want. We want Christians that are not settled with being regular. We want people who are willing to go forward, to keep trying, to have that passion to get better. A lot of times people that fail, that are lacking in ability, are not able to see any further than their path. Okay, knowing that because of what they do is all that matters. Very selfish way of life. if you can sometimes help people along the way. I work in a job that's an individual job. How I perform is how I perform. Not how the team performs. It's how I perform. You know, when I was involved in sports, it wasn't about how just I performed. Even though that was important to me, I needed other people to finish. Could have the greatest game of my life. Score a ton of points. The other team scored more than us, we lost. Have a great day at the plate and hit for all it was worth. If we didn't score anything else, or if they pounded us because we couldn't field, we lost. Okay, so sometimes having ability is nice. Having a gift is great. Having desire and a gift is incredible. That passion that you have, that you give forth, is incredible. That passion that you pass on to others is what is asked. Maybe you aren't at the best you want to be yet. But you know, does that mean that you can't help others who are less than you to help them get better? We have all kinds of training opportunities. And in my job, I could care less about most of them. They matter very little. You know, the training to be great in sales techniques, the training to be a fabulous manager, isn't that great? You know, good. Training helps. When you're being taught by someone who really knows what they're doing, or somebody that actually cares enough to show you something, then it matters. Okay, when we're talking about sports, which happens at my house, when I'm given advice that's requested about a shot, what you're saying isn't meant to be negative. You know, if they're asking what it looked like, you know, saying that and repeating that, it's meant to be help. When someone comes up after we give a talk, all of you that stand up here, someone says, good job. Or someone says, you know, that was good, but would you add a little more of something in there? That's well accepted. That, frankly, is someone caring enough to just talk to you. Okay, if someone addresses you about your health, that's because they care about you. They're not just standing there to poke at you. If they're coming to talk to you individually, that's because they care. We're here to help others become better. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will cry himself and not be heard. I put this as faulty and inferior. What we are looking at when you don't care about what happens around you and you don't care about the things that happen to others is that you have made everything around you about you. You have become not a Christian, not what God wants, not someone that's going to the 212 and crossing the boiling point, someone that has now gone lukewarm and is worried about how they are. If you are faulty and inferior, the way to become not faulty and not inferior is to simply become better and ask for help. If you're faulty, if you're lacking something, a lot of times you'll be willing to be less morally and be more in the world because you feel that makes you more comfortable in your life. How many times have you seen good people cross over just a little and then go completely off? I talk about my friend Jay, who went from good to a complete non-functioning alcoholic, and now is back. I never knew him as a drunk. I know him as a dry alcoholic. Knowing him has been huge. It's been a lot of help for me because it gives me somebody to talk to that's always going to be there that can answer those questions. You know, and he's just completely without care other than he's my friend. When we talk, and we can talk about things of the job because that's what we're both in, he understands. He gives his opinion. Sometimes not so great, but sometimes he's there with it. But he always gives the truth. We turn to others in this world for our self-worth. We have friends that may be no good. And that is pure and simple. They're hard to walk away from because they are your friends. It is hard to disassociate yourself with people that you have been around for a long time that you deem to be helpful. But at the end of the day, there are people who are not helping. And you need to separate. When you run into those people, you don't need to be mean to them. But you need to tell them the direction you're going. Because maybe somebody that is headed the wrong path simply needed somebody to tell them that they didn't like the way they were going and they just couldn't be with them all the time. If you want to be good at something, you want to be great at something, if you want to be lukewarm to boiling, you need to find that path. And you need to figure out which direction you want to go in. If you want to be a professional anything, if you want to be a husband, if you want to be a father, a wife, a mother, an aunt, an uncle, if you want to be a solid Christian, and I do hope that is the case, if you want to be that part of life, you need to grab a hold. And you need to make that step to come forward. Because while God loves you, He still needs you to come forward. We always say that a drowning man has to grab a preserver. Okay, if you're drowning in the world, the only way out is to grab the life preserver and let us pull you through. Let Christ pull you up out of that pool of muck so that you have a chance. Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than... Wow, sorry. Than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. A fool would wear his glasses when he writes too small also. Wretched and unfortunate. We don't want people to be wretched and unfortunate. Is that a descriptive phrase right there? Huh? Wretched and unfortunate. There's not a whole lot below that. We don't want you to be that way. We don't want anyone to be that way. When we talk about being poor, it's not a state of money. All right, you can have money, you can not have money, and be happy. Sometimes I wonder please don't think I'm speaking as a wealthy person, because that's just not the way it is. But we live comfortably. I wouldn't place us in the poverty level. I know people that have been there. I've talked about them. My college roommate's parents, I don't know how many times I've brought them up. That's where they were. Didn't have a dime. They were family. Absolutely a family. They'd travel in a pack. One would go, all would go. And you can't separate them still to this day. The mother and father have passed, but the children are in constant contact. That's a family. They live 300 miles apart. They talk a minimum of 4 times a week. Fantastic. Mom and dad did their job, didn't have any money, but still they were never, ever poor. They were never poor in spirit. They gave everything they had to this life. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. If you are present in life and that's all, you're missing it. Okay, you are drying your bones. All right. Thought maybe that'd be my phone because I got a new one and I wasn't sure how to shut it off. So if that was mine, I'm sorry, but somebody on my bench got it. Present life. Present life to yourselves, to your family. Have yourself be approachable. I am sometimes very, very unapproachable. If you have ever been a traveling salesman that has knocked on my door to sell me something, I am unapproachable. If you call me on the phone to complain about something that's happening in my job after 7 o'clock at night, I am unapproachable. All right? It doesn't matter. It will be okay. We always say when we go on vacation, I take vacation. All right? That phone stays on the desk. And the part of retirement that I truly look forward to the most, even though it's 24 years away, is taking that cell phone and smashing it on the ground as I walk out the door of that office building. Nothing tickles me more. If there's a reason to get up for me right now, I got to tell you, that's one of them right there. Giving that thing this hammer, just dropping it, done. Now back to it. Let others be part of you. You know what? Sometimes people don't approach you because they're a little worried that maybe you stand off or you're not approachable or you won't just talk to them. That's not the case. All right, whether I'm sitting with an angry look on my face should not bother you because I might just be simply trying to read the book. And that's the truth. They're just getting worse. You never know. So don't let a look or anything else stop you if you want it. The thing I really like is I read a book on drive. Someone that pushes himself through, and it's a Lombardi book. Okay, there was a guy really, I mean, wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, frankly, but he never failed to get where he wanted to be because he wouldn't stop until he got there. If you want to come up and you want to give talks in church, don't stop till you get there. If you want to lead songs in church, I'm working on that. Don't stop till you get there. If you want to read publicly, maybe standing up here in any fashion with any kind of word in front of you scares you or worries you. Don't let that stop you. Stand back. I will tell you that preparing for talks sometimes is more of a learning process than I ever get for anything else. Because as I'm writing that talk, I'm learning, and I'm taking it to heart, and I'm applying it to things so I can tell them to you. So learning that is a huge part. Don't let it stop. If you're in the mood to make forward and go forward, we want you to be there. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a soul in a broken spirit? To lose all worldly things and everything else would be devastating. And I'm not saying it wouldn't. The loss of a family member, the loss of a child. And I've said that before. I don't know how you overcome those things to go on. I really don't. But to do that has put you in light of others so that we can see how strong and what it means to you to be part of God's family and that you know that by following that it's going to take you closer to the one you love. When we lose people, and I've said before, I know it doesn't say it plainly, but I think I'm going to see them. And the thing that pushes me is that I think I'm going to see them. The loss of spirit and the loss of hope in someone is a tragedy. And if you see that happening, if you feel that happening, find somebody and tell them. Give them some help. Don't let yourself just crash. Don't let yourself become so poor, wretched, and unfortunate that you have lost the things that matter to you. Ask someone for help before you get there. Don't let things just slip away from you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our lives are given us because they are of value to God. He gives us the opportunity to find a way back. They are of value to God. We were not saved because we are wretched and unfortunate. We are saved because we are to be the light and we are to be the people that bring it forth. We are the people that are supposed to take God's word to others, to be a shining light, an example to them. The Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows what's the matter with us. And in some cases, that's a lot. Okay, He knows. But yet, He's still there to listen. He's still there to care. And at any point, you can talk to God as a Christian. I value that tremendously. They say, pray without ceasing. I don't got this whole thing licked, but I pray. And I'm comfortable. No matter what you have to give, it's something. You shouldn't back away from it. As I was preparing the talk last night, I was thinking about an uncle that passed away who was prayed better than anybody else I've ever known. I think of the other uncle who didn't care how stinky, dirty, gross you were. Give you a hug when you needed it. Awesome. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. God left everything He had to come down here. Left the riches of heaven, left His Father in heaven, left those things that were unmeasurable to us. To come down, suffer all, become human, and be punished to save us. He gave His life for us. Gave His life because He had the passion. Christ was never lukewarm. He was always boiling. He always crossed that line. He didn't wait and hold Himself back. He made sure that at the end of it, He was able to handle it. Because He had faith, He had love, and He gave all of that to the people around Him all the time. Christ is our leader. It's our goal. And someday what we need is to be with Him. To walk our families down the streets of heaven. Immeasurable. That's greatness. And that is certainly a place where you will never be poor. Your spirit will shine. And that's what we want. I closed the talk I gave at, the presentation I gave at my office with 2 Corinthians 8:12. Felt it was a solid. And please, if you would all listen as I do this, I would appreciate it. For if first there is a willing mind, it is accepted to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Christ tells us right there that He wants you to be willing to accept His love. Not that you have to have it. Not that you have to be the most talented speaker, song leader, scripture reader, person. But that you are His. That you will never settle for walking away from the gifts that He's given you because of fear or anything else. If you need help, we always offer help at the end of a service. If you're outside of Christ and need to come forward, if there's a sin that we can help you, if you'd like to be part of this church, be part of this Christ's love, please come forward as we stand the last song.
Number 607, sing first and last verses. All things are ready, come to the feast.